Galatians 4, verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you. Affected always, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. That's a pastor's life verse. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Can we read verse 19 together? My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Loving Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We want you to open the word of God to us, to speak to us, we pray. Do a lasting work in all of our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. Do what I cannot do, that is speak to the hearts of men and women. Do what I cannot do, and that is give us the energy and strength to appropriate and apply the message. May willpower and human energy not seek to power the way you give us the word this morning, but may we, through spirit fullness and Holy Spirit power, apply to our lives the things that you will reveal to us today. Help us never to become what we think is a self-made Christian. Help us to be empowered by Christ, who is our life. Thank you for all that you'll do, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. When the Apostle Paul is speaking to his churches in the matter of spiritual transformation, he gives them three figures or three ways they can see how they are to become the person that God wants them to be. I want you to go with me. Hold your place here in the book of Galatians, but I want you to go with me to the book of Romans. We ought to call it the gospel according to Romans in chapter 8. And the first figure that Paul gives in how Christ is working in our lives to help us to be the person, I remember, I think in high school, maybe even I heard my pastor say this. He said, we often say, I want to be the Christian that I ought to be, or I want to be the Christian that God wants me to be. How many of you have said that before? And true it is. And he said, I think we ought to change that a bit to say, I want to be the Christian that Jesus saved me to be. And I love that. Because in our value, in our estimation of ourselves, we understand we are the direct result of God's creative act, and we are the direct result of God's redemptive act. And when he fashioned us out of the dust of the ground, it cost him his breath. But when he redeemed us, it cost him his blood. So there's something very valuable about you. Someone said that an object is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. I'm glad the Bible records that Jesus shed his blood for us. Amen? We are worth the very life of Christ. And now he wants us to become the person that he redeemed. He saved us to be. And what are the three words he uses to describe the person that we are to become? Number one, He uses the word conformation, to be conformed. Now, the word means to take on the shape of or the form of. In a sense, Jesus is the mold and we are the clay. Jesus is the pattern. We are the clay we sang about this morning. And we're to be fashioned into the image of Christ. We begin in verse 28, a verse you know well. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, here's the word, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that He's the firstborn among many brethren, He's the firstfruits of many brethren, and that is a biblical idea that means Jesus was the first, but not the last. He was the first, but it represented a whole line of those who would come after Him. So we bring our first fruits to God in the Old Testament sense of we bring to God a tenth of our increase. And it was called a heave offering or a wave offering, where the believer would bring maybe a sheaf of wheat to the tabernacle, and he would wave it before the Lord, and he would form, as it were, the sign of a cross. He would wave it before the Lord, and he's thanking God for the increase. And he's also admitting that I'm not only giving God the first of the crop, not the last, not the leftover, I'll give God the first, and I'm signifying to God, I'm so grateful for what you've done that all the other that I will enjoy, I will use for the benefit of you and others. It's a committing of the rest to God. So Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, which means because He was resurrected, we shall be resurrected. And He's saying here in verse 29, He's the firstborn among many brethren. And He takes His blood. This is good theology. He takes His blood. He sprinkles it on the mercy seat in heaven. And I think He takes it, that body resurrected from the grave. He offers the first fruits to God. And He says to His Father, all that I am is thine. And by the way, there'll be many others like me.